Today's installment of our series on Latin America's move to the left comes from Chile. Chile is enjoying economic stability on a continent that is full of tension. It has doubled its economic output and cut poverty in half, with policies that its neighbors are questioning, aggressive free trade and huge foreign investments. Socialist President Michelle Bachelet is now promising to add a big dose of social welfare, as NPR's Julie McCarthy reports.
When Michelle Bachelet donned the presidential sash on Inauguration Day in March, a joyful nation came full circle. Bachelet, who was once imprisoned by the dictator Augusto Pinochet, now occupies his old office while he sits under house arrest, charged with homicide and kidnapping after seizing power in 1973. Now age 90, Pinochet has faded from the public scene, but the memory of his rule has not. 28,000 people were victims of torture under a regime that spanned 17 years. A museum pays tribute to the victims today. Workmen add a new pavilion to the memorial. On this site, the infamous Grimaldi Villa once stood. 4,500 people were imprisoned here, including briefly Michelle Bachelet. 19 were executed. More than 200 others disappeared. A broad granite wall bears their names. Margarita Romero, whose sister was detained here, says the average age of those who passed through was just 26.
It causes great pain to see these names. These are youth who had ideals. They were tortured. They were made to disappear for a political vision. Today in Chile, we still don't know what happened to many of these people, and many guilty walk free.
The dictatorship ended in 1990. It was brutal. It also laid the foundation for Chile's remarkable growth today. Analyst Raul Soar says Pinochet forced open the economy under the guidance of a group known here as the Chicago Boys, disciples of free marketeer and University of Chicago economist Milton Friedman.
And it was imposed in the most ruthless imaginable way. Well, eventually it did work, and it does work, and ever since Chile returned to democracy, a number of free trade agreements have been signed. Exports have grown exponentially. The one thing, though, is the breach between rich and poor.
Chile's richest still earn on average 14 times what the poorest do. The disadvantaged disrupt a street concert over the lack of affordable housing in the capital. The government has slowly dismantled shanty towns and moved thousands into new housing. Patricia Juana Cobello packed up her wooden shack for a smaller subsidized home. After 7 years in the mud and 7 years waiting for your own set of keys, it's something, she says. In Santiago, ringed by snow-capped mountains, the Sunday night opera, sleek offices and leafy avenues betray new wealth. This pencil-thin country along the Pacific has trimmed its poverty rate in half. Economist Philip Lorraine credits the post-Pinochet governments for preserving the dictator's free market model.
Instead of what has happened so many times in Latin America, that because you dislike profoundly, politically, a regime, there's no continuity in policy.
Michelle Bachelet is the fourth president from the same center-left coalition. Stability makes Chile low risk. Natural resources make it a magnet. Nearly half of all foreign investment in Chile last year was in mining. This mine in the northern Atacama Desert, with salt flats full of flamingos, gouge out Chile's biggest export, copper. A strong demand, thanks to China, and the high price of copper have filled the national coffers. Fruit, salmon, and wine, imbibed at vineyards that lend Chile the look of California, have diversified exports. Spectacular scenery at the bottom of the world attracts tourists. Every sector of Chile's economy has been privatized, including education. Raul Soar says it's dividing the country between those who get municipal schooling,
which is very, very poor quality, and those who go to private schools, which get sort of top international schooling, and so on.
Anger over the disparity spilled over in June. More than a million high school students took up the banner against dilapidated schools and two-tier education. It was a direct challenge to President Bachelet's promise for a more equal society. When she announced a $135 million aid package, the students stopped, and Bachelet bounced her education minister. Sergio Bitar says his socialist president is determined to be the human face of Chile's development.
She expresses this need for more affection within the society. It's not just productivity and growth, it's also the support for the weakest.
Social worker Soledad Puebla directs a preschool for the poor in Santiago. She supports Bachelet, but is disillusioned with the basic model.
No hay que olvidar por ningún motivo de que el neoliberalismo busca eso.
It's not about rights. It's about consuming. It's about work, work, work. They say that Chile is quickly advancing on the road to development. But what kind of development are we talking about here?
Economist Philip Lorraine says the people who want to make corrections to Chile's market-driven model are many.
But people who want to really replace the model, replace it for what? Because nobody has really articulated a view of what is the alternative.
Evo Morales.
Bolivian leader Evo Morales offered his alternative to thousands of Chilean leftists, many indigenous, on the eve of Bachelet's inauguration. His presence signaled a new openness in relations despite the difference in views.
Muchas gracias. Muchísimas gracias, pueblo chileno, por esta gran recepción y este gran homenaje.
Morales decried unbridled free trade and said Bolivia would assert sovereignty over resources such as gas.
Por la patria grande. Esa lucha, por la lucha por la patria grande, que es la unidad latinoamericana.
Historian Alfredo Joslin Holt says Washington and Wall Street inclined to the view that Chile's model is the best answer to Morales and his mentor, Venezuela's Hugo Chavez.
And in the context of all Latin America, the question is whether or not Mrs. Bachelet is the Chilean way to socialism as an alternative to Chavez.
But former Senator Sergio Bitar says more meaningful is the region's democratic consolidation a generation after dictatorships.
The shift in Latin America is the deepening of democracy. And, of course, the request that democracy delivers equality and not just growth. So Chile probably is the case in which this is more successful.
Chile's growth is bittersweet. Free market reforms inherited from a dictator. Bachelet's predecessor spoke of confronting the past. He said there can be no tomorrow without a yesterday. In Chile, what holds true for political reconciliation also applies to its economic success. Julie McCarthy, NPR News.
You can hear the previous stories in this series at our website, npr.org.